May the God who blesses us with abundance of friendship and light rest with us in this time. Amen. First of all, happy anniversary. A wonderful thing, 200 years of heritage, of legacy, of living in the present, every moment of that time, of turning toward the future with open hearts and open doors and open souls. Happy anniversary. All the people wept when they heard the word of God, and Nehemiah the governor said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of all of these things to those for whom nothing is prepared, to the poor, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This day is holy to God, and holy to you, and holy to me. I regularly spend some time with Rabbi Gila Kane in Edmonton. She arrived about a year and a half ago, and the shul that she serves is down the street from my house. So I call her up or send her an email and say, "Gila, would you like to get together for coffee or a glass of wine?" And she says, "Yes, I would." And the calls and the emails that I receive from my friend the rabbi are, "Catherine, would you like to get together to study?" My idea of a cup of coffee and a glass of wine and talking about what is happening in our congregations and in our denominations, looking for the movement of God among us, doing that over a beverage in friendship, is her understanding of study. And so it is that we have moved through the book of Esther and, of all things, the book of Numbers. We have had ranging conversations about politics in Israel and politics in Alberta, about things that are happening here in Toronto this very week, and about never being alone in what we are called to carry. I went to the installation for Gila as the rabbi at Temple Beth Ora. There was food and there were children dancing and there was music and song, and it seemed that seamlessly we moved into the liturgy where she was welcomed by Jewish leaders from across the continent and Israel. And she was welcomed by Christian and Muslim leaders as well, and by those from other faith traditions. And at the close of the evening, as is our custom, gratitudes were spoken for the readers, for the guests, for the people who had prepared the food and poured the wine and mopped up all the messes. And then there was thanks to the people who brought security. Gratitude given to the police. When I'd walked into the synagogue, I thought they were parking attendants, but I was wrong. It was police. Because we can't have a large Jewish celebration in the city of Edmonton without police for protection. It made me want to burst into tears. And this morning, on my way in here, I had a conversation with a security guard among the tents for the fair. And I asked him what he was looking for. And he'll be looking for trouble. And I could have burst into tears. This city needs a great light. This city needs your great light. this neighborhood, this park, these souls need your great light. They need you to party in the public square, to open the tents and the kiosks and welcome people in, keeping them safe. This city needs your great light. The city of Jerusalem needed a great light millennia ago. People had come back from being captive. All the leaders of the community had been taken away and were slaves in Babylon, captives of the empire there. And when they were finally freed and released, the generation came back and began building homes and built a spiritual home. They began rebuilding relationships and began rebuilding their relationship with God. And I acknowledge, as Padraig O'Toomwe of Coromila in Ireland has said, that what has been a shelter for me has been a shadow for others. But I lean into this understanding through our ancestors in faith of being a great light in the city, in the politics, in the place. The people came together, as Lynn read for you. The people came together. They were not called. They were not summoned. They were not made to be there. They gathered together and they asked the religious leader to read to them from the word of the law of Moses, the old, old books of our ancestors in faith, scripture, teachings, poetry, law. And their response was to burst into tears. The leaders who were there gave them interpretation of the scriptures, of the beauty, of the wonder, of the call of God to be the light, to be the hospitality, to be the agent of compassion. And the people burst into tears. Scripture holds within it things that are formless. Scripture holds within it awe and beauty and possibility and hope and grace and regret and selfishness and warnings. Scripture holds within it these things that are formless, and when these things were read, the people burst into tears. And Nehemiah the governor said to them, "Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of these things to the poor, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go and party in the public square." And so it is that I speak to you with gratitude. Gratitude for what you have been about for 200 years since 1818, a legacy and a looking forward in things, holding the legacy of the United Church of Canada as the first General Council was held here in 1925. Holding the legacy of our ancestors in faith, those great ones who knew that it is not simply word, but motion and moving, holding that legacy in this labyrinth that you built right into the very chancel of your church. Holding in faith, beloved, go forth. When I saw that banner for the first time, I took a photograph and I took it to my worship committee at St. Paul's and I said, "Look what Metropolitan Church does. Metropolitan Church brings people in to sing and to pray and to be honest and to weep and to laugh and to be restored and then sends people forth, beloved." My worship committee loved it. And they said, that's great. Thank you, Metropolitan. And what my worship committee chose to do was to have created 8 banners for various seasons of the Christian year, across which a rainbow sort of matrix flows, so that when people in my congregation go forth, they see the affirming values of our United Churches, blessing them as beloved they go forth. Thank you for your banner and for the gift that it is for the individuals who leave my church, having picked up on your idea and made it our own. And now you have a ramp up which a lantern may be brought and the great light may continue to shine. And your congregation, no doubt, over 200 years, has had times when people have burst into tears, times of fire and ascension, times facing economic realities, secularism, politics. And so I bring you gratitude for facing those things, and now I speak of beauty and service. Because my read of your congregation is that you face the things which make people burst into tears with beauty and with service, that you base your ethical and social justice life, that is to say, you base our public life, on the theological underpinnings of worship, of the Word, Jesus present to us, Christ present to us in the gospel saying, follow me. Of the music, words, and melodies that are written to lift the soul and to glorify God. Of the prayers that are built to move the soul and change our lives. And what happens in your basement? The very foundation of this building, the social services that you offer to the neighborhood and to the city. And again, a word of gratitude. Because my friend John Young and I met in your library and wrote together one of the chapters in Preaching the Big Questions. And it was not beyond our ken that we were seated in the lower level as vulnerable members of the community came in and out of your building, being loved and cared for and nurtured, as we wrote about theology and the presence of God in whom we are never alone. You say on your own website, at Metropolitan United, we believe that our faith is connected to our responsibility to one another, regardless. And I would add, because of faith, gender, sexual orientation, ability, native language, or age, you are welcome at Met. Part of the social services is acknowledging that evil will always be held accountable, that love will always prevail, and that this is our faith. That we join together across the world in the presence of God, having burst into tears at the power of evil, convinced that evil will not prevail but will be held accountable, and that love will be what prevails. And you have the organ that we love, and the carillon that plays, and the bell choir that sings with bits of metal. And you have pictures of John Joseph building the Pride Parade out in the parking lot. You have images imprinted on your heart of truths that Malcolm Sinclair has brought to you in his sermons. And you have the echo of music that Patricia Wright has left in you, singing you through the week as you face the times when you burst into tears and are reminded that you will party in the public square. You will eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and get together with those you love and share with the poor, and the world will be changed because you know what the world is, and you know that it is the love of God that sustains you in changing it. That is your heritage, and that is your present life, and you are not alone. And so it is that you are, as a congregation, facing populism and nativism and selfishness and mean-spiritedness around this city, the things that make us burst into tears. Did we not get beyond that? But we are back here again. And then after you burst into tears, you throw a party. In fact, you kind of are the party in the public square. You are the aching beauty that fills the soul, that invites awe in this place and in your lives, and that meets the moral needs of the world with love. Because the party, like poetry, like politics, like all human need, fills our public square. And the party that you and I are part of fills the public square with breath, with friendship, with song, with jam on the fingers and ketchup on the cheek, lemonade on the shirt front, and ice cream in the cone. You are the party. Nehemiah's party was the joy in Jerusalem. All those names that you listen to bless your heart with patience. All those names are a sign that it matters who shows up. They showed up to the right and to the left of the prophet Ezra, and they were accounted for. It matters that they were there. And this many years later, we read their names. It matters that you are here, every single one of you, that you burst into tears at the evil and the mean-spiritedness that is in the world, and you gather yourself together, because you are not alone, and you go out into the public square and you party with what you have. It matters that every single one of you are part of that, not simply the church, not simply the Christ, not simply the leadership, but every single one of you matters. And we will recite your names. We will recite your names in various ways in the activities that you are part of. And we will recite your name when that time comes and your human work is finished. And you become part of that awesome and amazing biblical feast, that promise of the big party to which Christ invites us, where no one will be excluded, where everyone will have more than enough, where there will be fat and sweet wine and enough for the poor and beyond, and that every single one of you will have your name recited as you move into that great and wondrous, well, the Bible calls it a banquet. Because the party is coming. For the home of God is among mortals. God will wipe away every tear from our faces. And death will be no more, and mourning and crying, and pain will be no more. And the great light that shines in this public square will be joined to the brilliance of the great lights across the world and the generations. And we will sing as though we were members of this choir and could get it right. We will sing that well. So, party in the public square. Follow me, he said. Do it for the love of neighbor, he said. Do it for the love of God, he said. Follow me, he said. Out into the public square, they said, do not be afraid. May the Lord bless you. and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God give you grace not to sell yourselves short. Grace to risk something big for something great. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. May God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and work through them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.